Hello, podcast listeners. This is Micaiah. Hey, before we begin, I just want to give a quick production note. As sometimes happens when doing work remotely, we experienced some technical difficulties in recording today's episode. You know, including internet and computer difficulties, microphone problems, and, of course, the ever-classic forgetting to press record. So, our apologies, and bearing all that in mind, on with the show!
Hello, and welcome to Seven Stars, Seven Siblings, and One White Tree, and we're a Tolkien podcast. Today, we wanted to discuss news about new visual adaptations of Tolkien's work. So, primarily the Amazon series that has, you know, news trickling in constantly since they announced they were going to make it in, I don't remember when they said.
But to some extent, this is finally coming up because they also announced the animated Rohirrim anime that will be coming up. So we figured we could address both at the same time.
So yes, I'm hyped for that. I am a big Rohirrim fan, so Nadia will be first in line for that.
Yes. I'm excited about the anime because we've seen two been very interested in anime in the past year, so last time it's going to be a good time.
Also, they talked about, we need to discuss this more fully later, but you know, the original Hobbit stuff have some backgrounds in anime type of projects there.
And also, it really makes, it really opens up the world of what special effects you can do.
Yeah.
And it seems to be a little bit more the team behind the original movies doing that. So that gives me a little more hope for the quality. It's a different part too. I kind of like the Rohirrim. I mean, the Rohirrim are cool. You don't have the elves and the fantasy elements as much, but you have that kind of.
Oh, there's plenty of fantasy, I feel.
It's going to focus on Helm Hammerhand, who theoretically kills people as a ghost, and that's pretty
I'm going to briefly read a synopsis of both of these per Wikipedia, I think, for both. I have The Lord of the Rings, The War of the Rohirrim is an upcoming anime fantasy film. The film is a prequel to the Lord of the Rings trilogy set 250 years before the events. The film tells the story of Helm Hammerhand, a legendary king of Rohan. And then, of course, the TV series by Amazon. Not too much specification yet. Literally all it says is, and is set in the second age of Middle Earth before the events of the Lord of the Rings novels and films.
That's pretty much all they said so far.
It,
yeah.
That's it.
Well, there's the general
We know about Helm Hammerhand because of the appendices of the Return of the King. And he just shows up as this awesome king who makes all kinds of fat jokes about his main enemy and then kills him with one punch and then a war with his hammer hand and then stalks his enemies like a snow troll. They claim that he eats them when he doesn't have anything else to eat, dies standing up outside in the cold and then continues to wreak havoc as a ghost. I mean, you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, and I'm excited about the medium because we haven't had a lot of stuff adapted as animated recently for Tolkien. And I mean, I really like the animated Hobbit. I also have a soft spot for animated Return of the King, even though I know it's weird. And I don't like the animated Lord of the Rings, but I don't think that was because it was animated. I think it was just because it was animated badly.
And Aragorn's pants.
Yeah,
that was it's Amazon. They can afford pants this time.
Yeah. Okay, well, it talks about different places where it's happening, that it's happening in the Second Age of Middle Earth, and the majestic forests of the elf capital of Lindon to the breathtaking island kingdom of Numenor. So I assume we'll probably see like the whole fall of Numenor take place during this series, probably. That kind of seems like something that will pop up, I imagine.
Yeah. So let's talk about, since we started talking about the War of the Rohirrim, let's talk about some things that we'd like to see as huge Tolkien fans in this movie. Aside from, of course, just the story of Helm Hammerhand, which is great, what are some other things you'd like to see? So I'm thinking that the wizards were around, so probably we'll get to see some of what they're doing. We'll kind of begin to see maybe some of Saruman's beginning to fall kind of thing into temptation. Like they could have a little subplot with Saruman getting the keys to Orthanc, which he gets from Helm's nephew, I think. But, you know, they can kind of fudge that timing a little bit. Maybe he goes there and finds the Palantir. So that kind of thing. Gandalf, we know at least that he was involved with the hobbits at this time, because he talks about observing them during the long winter. I guess the long winter is a Loringles Wilder thing, but anyway, what does he call it? I forget what they call that one. Anyway,
remember that part of the book.
Yeah, he's hanging out with Pa and Mary, and anyway, no, he's a different Mary. He talks about seeing the hobbits and having pity for them during that winter and seeing how brave they were. But I think Gandalf could probably show up at some point, maybe Radagast.
Did the Blue Wizards, did anybody know that they immediately go to the east there, or did they hang out in the rest of it? I wonder.
Nobody knows for sure, but it seems like they went east. And then, of course, there's two possible dates for them to show up. Some people have speculated that they might even... Amazon might have them show up in the Second Age, which wouldn't quite work with what we know that Tolkien wrote about them, but maybe could happen. I don't know. But yeah, some people have them coming before the other Istari. Some have them come at the same time, but it seems like they kind of go to the east. But there's enough play there where maybe they could have them do something, which would make fans exciting. I think that the Saruman thing will be a subplot. I think that'll be there. What else are people looking forward to?
Like, we kind of talked a little bit of how there's not quite as many, like, maybe, like, fantastical or elements sometimes associated with Rohan, but the thing that I feel like didn't always get in the movie was sometimes some of the more mystical elements of their, like, horses. Like, they talked about, you know, Shadowfax, like, he looks like one of the Mer-Ass, but I'm like, I think it'd be interesting to get some more of that, like, some of the more, you know, fantastic horses, like, they can understand human speech and, like, you know, that they were more mystical and just faster than the other horse. I think that'd be kind of interesting to see more of that relationship. It wasn't really brought out quite as much in the movies, so I kind of think that'd be fun to see.
Eowyn talks about it being like a shield made in the Rohan, so I mean, there's a solid chance that the Rohirrim at least have this concept of women can be warriors, so there's a solid chance you'd have more women warriors.
Okay, but speaking of things that lead to a more interesting and diverse cast, I wasn't aware that the Rohirrim are fighting like the Corsairs of Umbar and Easterlings, which means both you can have people from all over Middle-earth and get into that, and also because it's a TV show, well, okay, I guess that's once a movie, but you might be able to have more time to make another side sympathetic since they're humans rather than orcs who are pure evil.
Yeah, I hope that they'll deal with that. I know that there's some Tolkien scholars that kind of look at the idea of, like, you know, whose land is it, and like who is kind of colonizing some people that might not really be okay with that. And like, I think Tolkien kind of reflected that in his work of like, okay, that's what happens as people move in and out of nations. And so, yeah, I imagine there will be some Dunlendings that will be sympathetic characters. And I know that, like, a lot of the reason that, you know, some of these, the Easterlings and the Dunlendings, they are like supporting Sauron is kind of how they become the bad guys. But certainly not everybody in their kingdoms does. And some of their leaders, I'm sure, are conflicted about it. And also, like, I'm sure that Sauron gets the support of some of these people, which kind of leads us into our other show too. But so he gets the support of some of these people by promising them things that he doesn't really plan on delivering on, you know. And that kind of thing. But anyway,
roses,
yeah,
chocolates, promises you don't intend to keep.
I hadn't made the connection with hobbits, and actually, that makes me more excited. I hope they do that. I admit, okay, 100% admit, I'm less excited for these adaptations than I ever was for The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, because my favorite part of these books is the hobbits. And these seemed rather hobbit-like. I like their general, like, the warmth the hobbits have, the friendship, the element of humor, and it is why I have more trouble reading, like, the Silmarillion than I do, like, The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, even, like, The Adventures of Tom Bombadil, something a little more focused on that.
I think there could be hobbits in the story. Obviously, you know, they kind of know about them. When the hobbits show up in Rohan, they have a Rohirrim word for them. They know about the idea of halflings, so maybe they might show up in it.
Yeah, and I think
maybe can we have just I imagine Bilbo's mother like randomly visiting around with Gandalf?
That's you know what.
That's the reason all those Tooks had that reputation. Maybe they showed up and running up and playing around with people.
Yeah, but I mean, it could be a really meaningful story. Like, they survived this great thing, and Gandalf comes out with respect, and you're set it, and you're like setting up later on Gandalf's further involvement in Hobbits, which brings a lot of it, like the rest of the plot of Lord of the Rings together. So, yes, it would be a good decision. Because I was thinking of this, because I was thinking of how hobbits could come in, because apparently they cast a young Gollum. So they're going for that. And I'm like, yeah, they can bring hobbits in. It would be like an idyllic Shire that is suddenly interrupted by someone who's becoming a psychopathic murderer. And I'm like, I'm not into that. I mean, it would be interesting, but I wouldn't.
Being someone who doesn't look at news, you saying the words they cast a young Gollum really took me by surprise.
Yeah, I haven't really read the news either.
I hadn't heard that either, and I follow some of the stuff on Twitter.
A rumor, just like
I thought on wondering, maybe they had it wrong.
Was it April 1st?
Oh, I didn't check that. Okay.
I don't know. I haven't heard that. But I do think that it kind of sounded like, from the description I saw, that it said something about the War of the Rohirrim being kind of a bloody tale, which is true. I do hope that they have some moments of like humor and heart, which I think are really important to really understanding Tolkien's story. And certainly Helm offers some humor. I mean, it's humor that comes from a hammer hand, but he does. There is some humor in that story. But then, of course, his story becomes pretty tragic, and I hopefully they'll have some of that. And I do agree about seeing some of the shield maidens of Rohan would be great. And
isn't part of Helm's story like trying to prevent his daughter being married off to someone he doesn't approve of? I thought that was part of it.
That's part of why he punches the guy.
Yeah.
By the way, can I give you an update on the young Gollum story?
Yes. Yeah, it was April 1st.
Press release. Patton Oswalt joins Amazon LOTR as young Gollum. April 1st, 2021.
No.
I still think though you could do it.
There is a proper news story about it from 2000.
Okay, so yeah, I shouldn't just scroll through the news on Amazon. I have a hit on wondering and take it for granted.
Oswald, that's a good choice.
Well, he's a weird. EW.com, should young Gollum be hot in the Lord of the Rings prequel?
Everybody, why is it?
I'm going to read this and report back.
Every character that they talk about, they always are like, oh, this character was probably hot. I can't wait to hear about how the Balrog was hot as a.
I mean, he was.
Literally speaking.
He was on
One Ring's prescient little blurb about hot dwarves before they cast any of the hot dwarves in The Hobbit. And I was like, yep.
Love the hot dwarves. It was all lit.
That's the description of this episode, Micaiah. Quote Noel, I love the hot dwarves. So I
have probably watched an embarrassing amount of things with Richard Armitage. Richard Armitage was in it.
So also I would say we could go back and forth, but just to kind of turn our attention a little bit to the Amazon show, which is where all the money and resources are kind of going. There's been a lot of like stops and starts, it seems, from what we know, which is very little. There's been some things that are not my favorite things to learn about, like Tom Shippey not being involved after a pretty short amount of time. And, you know, it'd be a little bit more comforting to hear that somebody like that was involved in the show the whole time, but I'm sure he had a variety of reasons to not be. But I guess I gotta hope that putting all these resources behind it, New Zealand being behind it, that they're going to try to be faithful to Tolkien's work and that Tolkien's estate will try to keep them honest about it. It'll be interesting to see, you know, I've been listening to some other Tolkien podcasts out there that have talked about, you know, what to expect. And, you know, a couple of them I have kind of talked about seeing the fall of Numenor in season one. And I just feel like that's not, I don't think that's what they're going to try to do. I think they're going to try to, you know, I don't know if they're going to eventually kind of head their way into the Third Age, but I kind of expect the five seasons that they're planning to probably span the Second Age to some degree. And when I think about where they start, I think that my guess is that they're going to start either one of two places. And if you're like not familiar with the Second Age, you know, you can look it up in the Silmarillion and in the appendices of the Return of the King to kind of get some general outlines of it. But I think they could start at the kind of the time period towards the end of Elros's reign, who's Elrond's brother, who chooses to become a man, and he's rather than an elf, and he is in a king and the first king in Numenor. And kind of at the end of his reign is when Sauron kind of appears in Middle Earth and kind of makes his move in Middle Earth. So I think that might be one place that they start. You know, you have Gil-galad ruling and Lindon, and throughout, you know, he's kind of the high king elf at that point. You have the dwarves who are making their way into Khazad-dûm, and they're, you know,
dwarves as well. No, the dwarves,
yeah, the dwarves, hot dwarves. And so you have those different storylines going on. So I think that could be a good place for them to start the season. But I could also see them starting more around the time of when Celebrimbor starts to make rings with Sauron, who shows up as Annatar. Of course, he's disguised as this beautiful elf who's got knowledge about the rings. And so that could be a place to start. But that's what I would kind of expect. And I would kind of expect the seasons to have like different, you know, kind of crisis moments. But I honestly, if I had to predict, I don't think that you'll see, like, the first season, I don't think you'll see full, I'm Sauron, I want to take over the world, but at the end of it, I think you'll still see Sauron as mostly Annatar, as mostly kind of doing things behind the scenes, and they'll save more of that, like, descent into who he actually is and revelation towards maybe, like, season three. That's what I kind of expect.
I wouldn't expect it to come like that early on, no, either. And like part of the Numenor thing is that like he comes there as a prisoner and then talks his way into like being the advisor to the king and all this other stuff, kind of in a Loki sort of way. Or so I'm like, I feel like that does seem like something that would pop up later if you're going to kind of explore his background.
Yeah, and it depends on how close they stick to the story, because that doesn't happen until after his war with the elves, after the Ring of Power is forged and they discover that he's deceived them and they start a war.
Yeah.
And then the Numenoreans come and clean his clock. And then again, and then next time the Numenoreans show up and Sauron's building stuff up again, he just surrenders and then corrupts them. So I think, you know, the whole story, which I'm not sure how closely they're going to stick to, the whole story has a lot of nice climax and then down a little bit into something a little more regular. And then another story arc starts and climaxes and comes down. And so I think they can do that for a few seasons. And I hope they do. You know, you have these characters that live for thousands of years and characters that live for a couple hundred years, and then their kids come along and you can make use of that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what their time scale is going to be, because, I mean, if you have things go too quickly, do you have time to spend with the characters? Or but then again, if these people have had thousands of years, you can't really, 1 year may not show a ton of stuff happening. I don't know. I mean, more of the Rohirrim is different. You can pretty much do that in a shorter time scale.
Yeah, but you know who is there, obviously, is Tom Bombadil. So,
Yeah.
Paging Jack Black. Paging Jack Black.
Please. Yeah, right.
Jack. Jack Black to do it. Everyone tweeted Jack Black.
Would you like to see would you like to see Ents? Would you like to see the beginning of
Ooh, and Caligon the Black. Sorry.
Entwise.
I'm talking about stuff that was in the Cimarillion I haven't read. I want to see Caligon the Black.
Can we get dragons? That. Wait.
I want to see that.
Yeah, that's what I want, dragons. I'm trying to remember what happens to them when...
Dragons aren't mentioned, but obviously they were there because Smog's there, and so I think you could get a dragon. Yeah, that would make
Angolia.
You
excited.
You could get a dragon, Nadia. But you said so.
We need a dragon.
Yay!
I think Angolian's out of the picture at this point, but you know Shelob would be around.
I want to see the monsters.
But okay, like Shelob's like the last child to trouble the unhappy world, so obviously there were other nasty spiders.
Yeah, they were.
We could see the beginning. Bunch. We can see the beginning of
here's the story of a lovely lady
and Morgoth is the stepdad. And Sauron eventually becomes the stepdad to Shelob, but apparently Shelob doesn't have any kids.
Right, so then his kids like the ring race or whatever, so you have like
Yeah, that's their kids. Now that got weird.
Shelob.
I don't know, though. I like this. I watch this.
But wait, who's Alice? Monsters. That's the question.
Oh, God.
Malthasara.
Wait, it's Gollum.
There you go.
Isn't it?
There you
it's
go.
Gollum because Gollum does all her chores and then brings people to
Eventually, in the third age, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the Malthasara's a good choice. He could show up. We could see the beginning of some of those stories. I mean, that would be a pretty long life, I guess, come to think of it. But yeah, we see that we should be introduced to the ring race, and who they were before they became ring race, which will be interesting to see. One thing I was going to say is that I hope that the show spends some time giving us some humor, because a lot of the great things about Tolkien is the humor that he provides. So, you know, find those characters that can provide some levity. Celebrimbor's story is kind of tragic, but it seems like he's kind of like just happy gung-ho elf who just wants to make stuff, and he's friends with dwarves, and I feel like that has potential for some good heartwarming humorous type moments. People have speculated, like, could you see the kind of the beginning of where the hobbits came from and what they're all about in this age? It doesn't describe that, but it could happen. Yeah, and you know, one thing I wonder is if they're going to show us a picture into Valinor at some point to see the Valar and kind of understand where they come from, which would then give you the chance to see Gandalf as Alorin there too.
I mean, Gandalf, he's got some good snarky humor sometimes, so he can be humor too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are some things I hope that they're thinking about. I hope that they're not just trying to be an epic fantasy without remembering the heart and humor of Tolkien.
Yeah, it's one thing I wanted to see in the Amazon series is more heart and the humor in it. Especially that's some of my favorite parts from the movies and the books in general is the humor.
Yeah, no, I agree. I want warmth. I'm just like, if you tell me your TV show has all these great special effects and all this epic whatever, I don't care until I care about the characters. So just, they need to remember that. And just telling me these characters are important, it's not going to do that.
Yeah, I wanted to note too that of course I'm a fan of, it looks like their cast philosophy is going to be like colorblind, so anybody of any race can play any character, and I like that. I'm looking forward to seeing that and see it, because it opens you up to a lot of different actors and actresses that will provide a lot for the show, I'm sure. So hopefully they'll listen to some good Tolkien advisors and that they'll bring about the real spirit of the show.
I have a very important question for Noel. Are hot dwarves a tolerable trade-off for not getting hobbits in the Amazon series?
Hobbits rate above hot dwarves, but I mean, it would be helpful.
Speaking of that,
but it's just
you update on the young Gollum being hot. It was a clickbait headline, but they threw some shade at Andy Serkis at the end, and that's about it.
How dare they? Andy Serkis is cute. Okay, he's adorable.
He can grow a beard, for what
he's
that's
not
worth.
Tight, but he's cute.
He's cute.
He can grow a beard, Noelle. He can be a hot dwarf.
He pretty much always has a beard when I've seen
him. I don't know. Also, the one thing I want to say is, like, people always love to make Game of Thrones comparisons because it's a TV show, and we could probably go into that for a while. But what I'm also looking for is for characters that are good. I like when you have heroes that are good rather than everyone is gray. And I'm like, I feel like, you know, Tolkien definitely does provide that. And I feel like that's something that he's very strong in, where they're good characters and they're not like insipid or boring.
Right. Elendil and his family and how they're faithful to Eru Iluvatar and Gil-galad. I mean, there's tons of great heroic characters. All right. So that was a good discussion. Hope you guys are looking forward to the shows. Let us know what you think about it. Let us know your thoughts. And my son Elliot is here. Elliot, can you say bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Seven Stars, Seven Siblings, and One White Tree, a Tolkien podcast by the Wheeler family. This episode was produced by Elizabeth and Micaiah and was edited by Micaiah. Our associate producers are Quincy and Nadia. Our music is from purpleplanet.com. That's purple-planet.com. If you liked our show, please tell your friends, rate, review, and come back next time. And thank you for your support. This has been an Unwashed Bear production. Hello, Snorri and Eden, were you guys raising your hands to say something? Okay, you were raising your hands earlier, so I thought you wanted to say something.
We were trying to get the cat to sit by us, damn horse.
Okay. Yeah.
We were trying to get him to go over the couch instead of across the computer.
Yeah.
No.
Good addition to the podcast, she waved her hands.
Micaiah will fix it in editing.